Daniel 6:1, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. The things that's just happened here in the nation of Israel, they've had a regime change. The Babylonian rule has ended, and the Medo-Persians has taken over and rule. And it's begun with Darius, the appointed governor. The Bible said in verse 2, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king fought to set him over the whole realm. The presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel. Jealousy and animosity arose and concerned the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault for as much as he was faithful. Neither was there any an error or fault found in him. Then said these men, or this coalition, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and princes and counselors and captains, they consulted together to establish a royal statute. And to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days save of thee, O king, he shall be cast in the den of lions. I wonder, would it affect you if legislation was passed that you could not pray to the God of this Bible? I wonder, would it affect you if you couldn't pray for 30 days to the God that sits on the throne? I'm afraid in the flow of things, many people would not even stand up against the petition. Many people would carry on every day as if they'd missed nothing. So I asked you today, do you know the God of this Bible to pray to? Now, O King, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed, according unto the law which of the Medes and Persians which alkereth not. Verse 7, look what they say. They consulted together to establish a royal statute and make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. And his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake unto the king concerning the decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast in the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which alters not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but make this petition three times a day. And the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. He loved Daniel. Set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and labored to the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king, and they said, now listen, king, we've made a law. Verse 16, the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him in the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Daniel had influenced the king. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, the signet of his lords, and the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Boy, isn't it something when God gets into bed with you? Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, and they've not hurt me, for as much before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded they brought those men which had accused Daniel. They cast them in the den of lions. Them, their children, their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces wherever they came at the bottom of the den. You may be seated this morning. Father, thank you for this time together. I pray now you let preaching be easy today. Touch our hearts. Thank you for the stirring of the Spirit of God today. Help us in thy word, I ask you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to preach this morning on this thought. What a day to be a Daniel. What a day to be a Daniel. Daniel is a very unique Bible character. At this time in Daniel 6, me and the commentators say that Daniel's around some 84, 85 years old. Daniel's not a young boy thrown in the den of the lions. I want to notice a few important things in the Bible about Daniel, then I want to get to that den and close this sermon. But first of all, look in Daniel chapter 1 and verse number 8 at his purposed heart. I want to say something to the young people today. Daniel chapter 1 and verse number 8. Here in chapter 1, he's a younger man. The Bible speaks volumes in verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the prince, the eunuchs, that he might not defile himself. That ought to be an ultimate priority, that we would not defile ourselves. How can we defile ourselves? Daniel told us, by the king's meat or the world's things, and the king's wine, the world's liquor. I want to say something, young people. Here, Daniel had his heart made up. Had his mind made up. I've noticed that temptations are so much easier to get through when I get to them if prior to I've got my heart and my mind made up. You see, at the time of temptation, it's no time to try to make your mind up. You'll make the wrong decision. Have your mind made up before the opportunity presents itself. Young people, I want to ask you today, this Daniel had a purposed heart. You'll notice in verse 3 through 6, he had exceptional friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You are who you run with. Friends will highly influence you. If you get around the wrong crowd, I want to give you a warning out of the Bible today. You'll not change the crowd. The crowd will change you. You'll find yourself walking the Lord many times. You will find yourself alone. You'll be made fun of. But I'd rather be on the Lord's side than any side this morning. And so this Daniel, he had a purposed heart. He had exceptional friends. He had an exclusive diet. And then he had an excellent spirit. Now to chapter 6, verse number 3, a very powerful statement then this Daniel, this kind of Daniel is what God is saying. He was preferred above the presidents and princes, and this is the reason, because an excellent spirit was in him. Now I want to say today, before you can have an excellent spirit on you, you've got to have an excellent spirit in you. I want to say it again. Before you can carry an excellent spirit on you, then you must take care of the spirit that is in you. The Spirit of God. The Bible teaches us to be filled with the Spirit. Walking with Jesus every day. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is not a one experience of a lifetime. It's a daily process walking with Jesus. A place where we walk with God, where our conscience is right with Him. We know the Bible teaches us that our conscience can be seared. There's a lot of people walk around with a seared conscience. Their conscience don't bother them. But friend, when you're filled with the Spirit of God, and you've got a diet of the Word of God, and everything in your heart and your mind is to please the Lord, your conscience can guide you. And I want to say today, coming to church, it builds our conscience. Our conscience sends out signals and radar. It puts a screen up. And when things come with us in our life, our conscience resounds. It lets us know there's an alarm going on inside. The Bible teaches the conscience can be seared. But I want to say, you that are walking with Jesus, you can trust your conscience. But those of you that are not filled with the Spirit of God, your conscience is seared, you better not trust your conscience, because the more you play with sin, the quieter your conscience will become. But I'm glad we've got the Spirit of God that lives in us. And so coming to church, it helps us. It puts an excellent spirit in us. We need an excellent spirit upon us. Daniel and his purposed heart. Secondly, verse 4, not only Daniel and his purposed heart, but Daniel and his personal holiness. Chapter 6, verse 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. His personal holiness. In verse 3, he was filled, or he was full. An excellent spirit was in him. Verse 4, there's a great Bible word. He was faithful. Are you faithful? Are you faithful to God? Are you faithful to your family? Are you faithful to the Word of God? Are you faithful to your church? Daniel was filled. Daniel was faithful. But look at verse 4. Daniel was faultless. They couldn't find any blame on Daniel. A lot of expositors say that the king had Daniel in place to watch the others because they was ripping the king off. They didn't like Daniel. Daniel was one that wouldn't listen to their dirty jokes. Daniel was one that wouldn't go in places that he didn't need to be going. Daniel watched himself because he had his heart made up. God help us to get our heart made up this morning. This Daniel, he had a personal holiness. Holiness is nothing less than conformity to the character of God. To be Christ-like. You don't hear much about holy living anymore. There are no shortcuts to holiness. It must be the business of our whole life. I want to say that again. The thing of holiness, being Christ-like. Holiness is nothing less than conformity to the character of God. And there are no shortcuts to holiness. It must be the business of our whole life. In our decisions, our statements, our actions, we must always think, what does God say? And so within this Daniel, we see his purposed heart. Young people, please make your mind up that you're not going to go with the world. You're going to serve God. You're going to be an instrument of righteousness and let the Lord do great things with your life. Young people, you were born for such a time as this. Older people, a lot of times the devil will tell us, well, you're washed up. You're done away with. You can't tell Daniel that in chapter 6. He's some 85 years old. God's just starting to use Daniel. I want to tell you older people sitting here this morning, thank God for you. And realize we got the greatest days ahead of us. That was weak. Why you say you got the greatest days ahead of you? Because heaven's in front of me. You see, what a day to be a Daniel. What a day. Young people, what a day to be a Daniel. Older people, what a day to be a Daniel. His purposed heart, his personal holiness, but look if you would in verse 11, his prayerful house. His prayerful house. The Bible said this decree was signed that he could not call upon the God of this Bible for 30 days. I really want to ask you, if that happened to me and you, would it change our daily living in any way? Would, if your prayer life stopped, would God know it? In other words, are you praying? Prayer so many times has been so belittled. But you see, even though our prayers may be awkward and our attempts may be very feeble, but since the power of prayer is in the one who hears it and not in the one who says it, our prayers do make a difference. God does change things. Prayer does change things. His prayerful house, verse 11, he was found praying. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Daniel was found praying. Verse 10, Daniel was fond of praying. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went to his house and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Here it is, as he did aforetime. He said, ain't nothing changing where I live. And let me tell you, it don't have to change where you live. Daniel prayed. Do you pray? I've said this so many times, but it's one of the greatest illustrations God has ever shown me. Matter of fact, the older I get, the Lord gives me so many sermon illustrations through life. I'll never forget one morning. Megan had dropped Sophie off. Sophie was really little. She's about the size of some of these little children come to the altar today who prayed with their mama. In my study, I have a chair. I go to that chair. I try to go there every morning of my life the first thing. I put a pillow down. I've noticed if I'm not comfortable when I pray, I won't pray long. You're human and I'm human. And I'd been over in that chair, Brother Adam, and I was praying, and I heard the pine floors pop in my study. I knew somebody had walked in. I just kept praying. When I looked up, Sophie was about this tall, and she had her little hand stuck out over me with her head bowed, and I looked up as one of the greatest sights I've ever seen as a grandfather. The Spirit of God spoke to my heart that day and said, Ken, aren't you glad that she has caught you praying? I want to ask you, has any of your family ever caught you praying? Our kids know where we hunt, fish, and shop. But do they know where you pray? I can never put enough intense labor on this statement. Pray. 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 Because there's a God in heaven that can change things. So we see this Daniel. Daniel prayed. There's been songs written about Daniel. And Daniel prayed. Thank God we can pray. What a day to be a Daniel. His purposed heart. His personal holiness. His prayerful house. He was found praying. He was fond of praying. He was familiar praying. Why was he familiar in praying? Because his windows was open. You say, why did he leave his window open? It would do us all good to leave the window open. It points upward this morning. I'm glad that I've got the windows raised in my soul. Are yours closed? I'm thankful. Many times it may feel like my prayers don't get out of the room, but I've got the window open spiritually that my prayers can get through. Then in return, I'm glad there's a window open in my soul where God can respond from heaven and get what I need in my life. This morning, Daniel at 84, 5 years old, he faces something in his life. And I want to close with this thought. Daniel is facing one of the greatest experiences he's ever faced. Him being a Christian is taking him to a dark place. Taking him to a dangerous place. I don't know if you know about this den or not. But they would dig a shallow hole in the ground. They would build a small fence around this. You see, the Babylonians, when they executed people, they threw them in a fiery furnace. But the Persians would simply cast you to the lions. So brutal. Within the top of this, it would be a door. It would be a wall in between that would raise. It would have two doors on top, and the lion keepers would throw the meat in one side. When the lions run over, they would let this wall down. They would go in and clean that side out. Here Daniel is taken to a place, and he's put in a den of lions. I've heard a lot of people say, well, they were just kitten cubs. I want to remind you today that the Persians didn't have kitty cats in the den. Can I tell you, our adversary is as a roaring lion today, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Daniel, even though he had a prayerful house, he's fixing to experience some very powerful help. I want to tell you something. Before Daniel got to the den, he prayed. And he prayed three times a day. I want to ask you just as a country thought in the sermon this morning. I wonder how many prayers he had in the bank of heaven. How many prayers you got banked up in heaven? Preacher, that don't really make a difference. I beg your pardon. You see, when you're familiar with God, He's familiar with you. And so Daniel prayed. And the Bible says this, they threw him in the lion's den. Does the lion's den have you? Let me tell you, Your line today might not look like the line of this Bible. But I can tell you one thing. It can make you very fearful. It can make you feel very alone. It can captivate you. I wonder, is anybody today facing a den in your life that has you consumed? You're facing it in your life. You may be in it, you may be headed to it, but you realize it is a bad situation. I would love to tell you today that if you'll live for Christ, hard times would not come. But the Bible teaches us that hard times do come. But thank God there's somebody that goes through it with us. You see, sometimes God prefers to keep us safe in the den rather than save us from the den. I want to say it again. Sometimes God prefers to keep us safe in the lion's den rather than safe from the lion's den. Now let's look at this and I'm done. This powerful help. The danger that was threatened him in verse 16. Verse 18, the faith that sustained him. The king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. When he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Look at that word, continually. Is your God ever asleep, Daniel? Is your God backed up in traffic? Is your God busy on the phone, Daniel? I want to ask you, can He continually deliver you? The faith that was sustained. But now the power that was delivered. Verse 22. Daniel replied, and look what he says. My God hath sent His angel and has shut the lion's mouth. They were open at a point in time. Well, they may be open at you this morning and you're staring right in the face of a lion with his mouth open. But let me tell you something. The God of this Bible and the God of Daniel can do things for you that you cannot do. Look how Daniel responded. My God. Miss Amy, I want you to come this morning. If you want to bring your girls, it's fine, but I want you to sing the invitation for me today. And I want to close this text with this. You say, well, preacher, why did Daniel reply to the king, my God? Because it's simply this. He knew who had just helped him. He knew who he had been praying to. He had been praying to a preacher. He had been praying to a committee, to an organization, but he had been praying to God. And when God delivered him, Daniel gave him praise. My God, the dens of life that have consumed me, you know how I made it through? My God. Some of you are facing the dens of your life today. You know the only way you're going to make it through your den of lions is by my God. The God of this Bible. Do you think Daniel felt alone? Do you think Daniel might have felt a little mistreated? God, I've been living for you. But you'll notice this, and don't never forget this, The Bible said Daniel was faithful, and you know what? God was faithful. You'll never outgive Him nor outtrust Him. Yes, you may face some things in life that's hard. I've been rolled into places and I wondered, would I walk again? I've been taken in places and wondered, would I ever get back up again? I've had the wind knocked out of me spiritually and wondered, would I ever make it through that den? And now I've noticed the reason I go in the den. So I'll give Him all the honor and the glory. Because God, I know what happened. I couldn't do that. But You did it. And now God was promoted in that land. Isn't that something? The king made a decree. He said, you know what? We're going to serve that God of the Bible. Prayer does change things. Some of you in a place you feel so hopeless and helpless. I want to tell you, this Bible says that God sent His Son to an old ragged cross, died for you, me. And He said if we would repent of our sins and call upon Him, He would save us. That's what He said. The thief on the cross said it. I want to ask you today, have you ever been saved? Young person, the God of this Bible, is He your God this morning? Mom and daddies, have you ever been saved? I'm talking about really, do you know you're saved? I preach this sermon to say this, I don't know what you're facing, but God does. And God will be faithful to you. He might not keep you from the den, but He'll keep you in the den. And this morning I want us to sing. I want to open this altar up. If you're here and you need the Lord to help you, won't you come to Him? For there's help here this morning by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've never been saved and you want to be, come. We'll pray with you.